then we will pray and continue.
Amen. Then it was, when the wall was built, and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, and Hananiah the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. And I said to them, do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors, and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and another in front of his own house. Now the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses were not rebuilt. Then my God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, and the people, that they might be registered by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of those who had come up in the first return, and found written in it.
Glory to God. Shall we pray, please? Father, thank you for your word. We bless you. We thank you for the example of Nehemiah. Thank you for what you're teaching us through Nehemiah. Father, this morning we yield to you and we surrender to you. We pray that you will speak to us as you've been speaking to us. You will do what you are here to do. Help us to live for you. Spirit of our living God, breathe afresh. Teach us. Spirit of our living God, I pray you will help me to speak to your people. We bless you. We depend on you and we yield to you. Help us to really be doers of the word of God and not knowers. We bless you at West Hudson Christian Center. We surrender to you. We leave our totalities to you. Let your will be done amongst us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in our totalities. Today, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 And so we see right from verse 1, I'm speaking on the appointment of Hananiah and Hananiah. So the war, the major title here in chapter 7 is the war guarded. The war is guarded. And we sang a song when we were doing our sing time of worshiping songs, where we sang that build the wall, build the wall. Many of us have walls which are built up. We have our defenses already. Many of us have our defenses already. Many of us don't have our defenses. For some of us, we have defenses that needs to come down. Because of the insecurities that we have somehow developed a mechanism within us that causes us to react in ways to defend ourselves based on our insecurities. But God is saying that we need to be willing to let it go and allow him to build the right walls. The walls of love. The walls of love. The walls of love. That is based on him. Based on his word. And through him, he wants to rebuild us. So what kind of wall do you have built up? What kind of wall? What kind of wall? I know, a sister in Christ, that you can never try to correct. That sister will attack you from everywhere to prove that she is right. But the problem is that when that sister was young, she was always made to feel that she was nothing. And so she has developed this sense of always defending herself. But Christ wants us to leave ourselves into his hands. And he wants to build the right walls within us. The walls that is based on his word. The walls that is only through the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see that Hanani says, Nehemiah says that in the verse 1, he says, then it was when the walls was built. The walls were built. Everything was in order both practically. You know, the wall is now built, the gates have been hanged, the walls are in place, the doors were in place, the gatekeepers were in place. Practically, everything had been put in place. And spiritually, the singers, the Levites, you see, the work was completed and set right. The singers and the Levites were there to lead the people in worship. The walls were not rebuilt so that people of Jerusalem could look at nice walls. They were rebuilt so they could worship God with greater glory and freedom than ever before. You see, God's walls that we build within us, it is to allow us to worship God with freedom. God says that, enter into my courts with thanksgiving and praise. And so, if we are going to worship him, we cannot be approaching this God in fear. He loves us. If we are going to worship him, we cannot be approaching him in distrust. He says that, believe me, our walk with God, our worship of God is all hanging on faith, believing him that he exists. And so, to worship God truly, we need to get rid of those walls that we have. The insecurities, the fear, the whatever character that does not allow us to worship God freely, we need to get rid of. It could be some personal addictions that we have. It could be dependencies that we have on people. Some of us depend on our husbands. We depend on our wives. We depend on our children, on our relatives and our friends. And we've built up this sense of security that is not in God's word. That is not based on God. And this does not allow us to worship God freely. Every victory in our life should take us deeper into praise. If we were not praising God more and more deeply with each passing year, are we really having much victory? Maybe we are making it through thoughts, tough times, but coming out more bitter and sore than ever. That is not God's victory. His victory leads to a sweeter spirit and to a deeper praise. The victory that Jesus gives us must lead us to a sweeter praise to God. When you go through hard times and difficulties, and you come out of these times with rather bitterness and hate and offense in your heart, that is not the kind of victory Jesus wants to give you. Jesus' victory sets you free and releases you to praise God. How many situations have you been through when you've gone through the hard time and you come through and you now you know it is over and you say, thank God, I see the victory that Jesus has given me through this situation. It is sweet and it is tasteful, and it should take us deeper into praising him. You see, sometimes there's the song that says, count the many blessings. Count the many blessings of the Lord. My wife is laughing. Baby, I see you. Count the many blessings. And sometimes when you can remember the things God has taken you through and he has brought you through, and you can just relax, it should take you deeper into his presence. It makes you aware that this God is real. This God is love. This God really cares about me. When I was going through my hard time and I called on Jesus and Jesus brought me through, how can I stand here today and say there is no Jesus? It gives you a testimony. You see, that is why in the house of God, we encourage testimonies. It takes you into a deeper place of worship and trusting, depending and holding on to Jesus. So when we have difficulties coming our way, hard times coming our way, rest on him. Look out for the victory. these people of Jerusalem are now at the place, they see the victory, and it was sweet. Rejoice. Look out for the victory that Christ is going to give us as a church here. Me, you, all of us. The victories, the personal victories that we are winning already. Since I've been here, I'm hearing testimonies. God is at work here. God is not dead. God's not dead. God's not dead. Jesus is not in the throne, in the tomb. Jesus is resurrected. He's not hanging on the cross. He's resurrected. The Spirit of God is at work amongst us, and He will bring us through our difficult times. He will bring us through our marital issues, our relationship issues, our work issues, our financial battles. He will bring us through our spiritual battles and our emotional battles. Jesus has won the victory. Remember that when you are about to give up, or when you take that pill and you want to take it and end your life, remember that Jesus is not dead. He's still alive. I remember I was living in Manhattan, living by Central Park, living a life. I seen people living a life full of, riches. And I was seeing how people would even take care of their dogs. And I didn't have a job. And I would watch people going and coming. And I would be sitting in Central Park, fasting and praying, Daddy, when will my time come? When will my time come? Did you bring me here to stay in my room for my wife to go and come and feed me? But the victory is sweet, I'm telling you. Today, I'm a living testimony. Jesus will do it. The fact that your victory has not come doesn't mean that it is over and you are nothing. There is more God is doing even in your hard time. Look out for that victory. Go into the Word of God. Take the Bible. Meditate. Pray day and night. Fast. Keep them on your word. Believe them. Walk in them. And I tell you, when the Christians, the early church praying, they were praying for Peter. And when Peter appeared at the gate, they said, no, it's not Peter. It's his ghost. God can work a miracle in your situation. No matter how tough, how difficult our situation it is, God's victory is possible. It is possible. And so Nehemiah continues and he says, I gave the charge of Jerusalem. Jerusalem needed somebody to look after it. Nehemiah wasn't in this for political glory. He had done a work and now he could let it go. God would still use him in Jerusalem, but he knew it wasn't his place to stay in authority. You see, I always would like to remind you, I am not here to control anybody. By God's grace, I have come to serve you. I have come to serve you. I will do anything I can do in my will and my grace in that God has given me to support you and to encourage you, to feed you, to become the people God has called you to be. I am not here for any personal glory. I am not here for any personal gain. I am not here for any political gain. As a matter of fact, I can't do politics. If you've observed me already, I don't have political way of speaking. I don't have political way of appearing. What you get is what you see. And I want you to know this, and I want to speak to you, that we as children of God need to have one agenda, and that agenda has to be glorifying the Father. Amen. Glorifying the Father in all situations. We are not looking for glory for ourselves. We are not looking for glory from man. We are not looking for any victory from anyone, but Jesus being exalted and we being humbled. And so, you, all of us, me, all of us here, let us now start a journey that really glorifies Jesus. Whatever God has placed upon your heart to do, I have been placed here to serve you as your pastor. Whatever your calling is, it might be you are the praise and worship leader. It might be your calling is out there, an evangelist. It might be whatever it is, do it. Do it us to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your reward is with him. And so Nehemiah understood what his responsibility was and was able to put the right people in place. You see, since I have come here, I have made it clear. I want everybody to serve in their position. If I see that you have a potential, I want you to use it. I am encouraging everybody to serve God as they need to. Because you know what? I know I can't do the job alone. This position that I fill in, most of the time I'm in the office breaking down before the Lord. Sometimes when I'm alone here, I lock all the gates and I'm lying here. Daddy, I need you. Pray, break down, humble yourself to him. Know that whatever God has given you is not for show off. It is for him to glorify himself through you. It is for others. And so do it with all diligence. Know your place. Know where you fit in. Know what God has called you to do and do that well. Don't step on another person. You see, if we are not careful, insecurity will cause us to do things we shouldn't be doing. Look, I cannot change light. I can change light bulb. But Sister Jumi will tell you, my wife Jumi will tell you, when we were in London, I put things on our walls. We bought new sound systems. I created shelves and all that. We were sleeping in the middle of the night and we heard sounds. We got up running. We got to the living room and everything I had put on the wall had all calmed down again. I am not technical, so I will not come and try and do what technical people are supposed to do. I will mobilize. I will stand there. I will pass the screwdriver. I will do everything. But to say I will do it, it is not me. I know my place. Know your place. Know your place. Even as we come together as a community. You see how this morning when we were praying and we held hands and we were praying, we are together. It's a sign of unity. But I understand that I cannot put that bulb up there. So I need to go to that person who can do it. And I need to learn to listen to him when he says, you know, Pastor Barnes, we can't do it this way. I think we should do it that way. Let's respect one another. Ministry leaders, I always encourage you, work with one another. You can't do it on your own. You will burn out. Nehemiah understood his place and his position, and he put the right people in place. So he went on, he says, he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. Do you see the requirements that Nehemiah used to place the people in place? People who were faithful people to God and feared God more than in many. There were many people. There were many people, but it fell on one person to be given that position. Why? Because that man was a faithful person. Ananias is the person that went first to Persia and told Nehemiah about the state and the condition of Jerusalem. And since Nehemiah came, he had been there supporting Nehemiah to the point that Nehemiah sees him as a trustworthy person to put in a higher position. We need to learn this principle in the house of God. It is not because you are a beautiful person or you've been here for 30 years or 40 years. If you have the right heart to serve God, any servant of God will use you. If you do not have the right heart, that is why it is important that we now start working on our heart, and which is why we are in the process of rebuilding. Get rid of that which is in you that does not glorify God. Because it will not allow you to fulfill your full potential. Everywhere you go, people will see the negativity in you, the bad in you, and they will fear to give you a responsibility. They cannot trust you to give you a responsibility. And so, children of God, let's get rid of the walls that we've put up. Some of us, it is not a wall. For some of us, it is some heap of things that does not glorify God. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Start to respect the word of God. Start to be faithful person. I always say, if you give your word, obey your word. If you say, I will be there, be there. If you say, I'm not going to be, don't be. This man feared God. This man feared God. Many folks who aren't all that gifted, they can't sing, they can't remember a bunch of Bible verses. They don't have a knack for teaching, they don't have a knack for teaching, and so forth, can still be used greatly of God if they are faithful and fearful of God. On the other hand, many terribly gifted people may always be frustrated in serving God if they are not faithful and fearing God. Do you see that? If you are not faithful to God and fearing God, you can have the greatest of gift and the best in you would never show. I will always, always, always use one king in the Bible. One king. Saul. King Saul was anointed by God. God literally sent a man of God, a prophet of God, to anoint him. God gifted him with the kingship of Israel, and also he gave him a prophetic anointing. He prophesied and he operated in the prophetic ministry. But what did he do? His heart was far from God. And so that which God gave to him, he himself could not hold on to that position. Character is key. Character is key. You can have it all and still always lose your position, your place, because you do not uphold the word of God. You do not respect God. You do not submit to the word of God and the authority of our living God. I tell you, it will always not take you far. Watch your, please. Don't seek the anointing. Always set yourself. Is there anything I'm doing that will hinder God from using me? Ask yourself that. And I reflect on myself all the time. Children, always remember, am I being a good child? And youth, always ask yourself, is my character worthy of God? When I read the Bible, does the things that the Bible say, are they the things that I do? Get a youth Bible. If you don't have a youth Bible, come to my office. We'll order one for you. If you are youth here. Parents, get children Bible for your children. Encourage them to read these things. Talk to them about the word of God. The word of God says that train up a child the way he should grow. And when he grows, he will not depart from it. These principles are things we need to start teaching our children from childhood. So that when they grow, it's already embedded in them. When I went from childhood, my parents raised me in the fear and the love of God. Then I got the opportunity. I went to boarding school. When I went to boarding school, I went haywire. Became very naughty, chasing after unnecessary things. But every time I was doing something that was sinful, I knew it was wrong. And by God's grace, today, the seed that was sown in me is generating. It's growing. It's growing. Is growing. So you look at the verse 3, it says, and I said to them, do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors, and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and another in front of his own house. Do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they stand guard, a tremendous victory had been won. The walls were rebuilt, yet the walls would not protect themselves diligently. Watchmen must be appointed, and the walls had to be guarded. Who is guarding your wall? The walls have been built. Some of us have our walls built, but who is guarding it? Who is guarding it? They needed watchmen to watch it. Who is watching over you? Who are you yielding to? Who are you depending on for security? Only Jesus. He says, call on me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus' security is the best you can ask for. He loved us so much, he came to die for us. God loves us so much, he gave Jesus for us. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have an eternal life. And he says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, I will come in and dine with him. Jesus wants to be in full control and authority of your life. If you're seeking for security, if you're seeking for hope, if you're seeking for defense and protection, it is only found in Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus is the most powerful human being you can ever imagine. Jesus is the most powerful name you can ever imagine. The word of God says that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Jesus' name is lifted above all name. And so you can believe in him. You know, our policemen and our servicemen are doing a great job. We cannot depend on their security. As children of God, as a nation, we need to depend on God for security. The word of God says that except the Lord giveth, they that labor in vain. And so until God takes care of our nation, all of us, our president, our everything, all the things that we do to keep this country together can never be will all be in vain. We depend on God for survival. And so we need to now start looking up to him, yielding to him and surrendering to him and allowing him to work on us, to protect us and to defend us. When you park your car, believe that Jesus will take care of it. That alarm system will not protect that car for you, I'm telling you. ADT does not take care of you. As a matter of fact, when the thief breaks into your house, before they call police and police sits in their car, whatever the thief wants to do, he or she would have done and gone. Depend on God. Trust in God. Hope in him, and he will take care of you. It will start from your heart. He will make sure you do not live in sin, die, and go to hell. He will perfect you. His righteousness will come upon you. He will clothe you with his righteousness, with his holiness, with his purity, with his shining light. He sees you not as an enemy. He sees you as his child. He loves you. He loves me and you. That's how God sees us. We have become his righteousness through Jesus Christ. We have inherited the kingdom of heaven because of Jesus. That is how much God loves us. And so we can choose to be relaxed in his hands. Some of us are too stiff. Some of us don't trust anybody. Don't trust me. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Open up to Jesus. Pray. Some of us, when we are even praying, the Holy Spirit starts to move a little bit. What is this? And then you open your eyes. You don't allow Jesus to move in your life. Some of us, we feel like God has to show us everything before we believe him. No. Just come on this exploratory journey with Jesus. It is a beautiful exploration. He will show you great and mighty things you do not know of. He will. He will do mighty wonders in your life. And people who do not experience the Jesus that you experience will look at you funny. Some will look at you funny and try to undermine you. will try to talk you out of what you have, but I'm here to encourage you, trust in Jesus. Whatever people say, believe the word of God. Believe the word of God. Believe the word of God. It is a time, it says, do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened. The gates were to be opened late and closed early. It was a time for high security. Now we are going through rebuilding. You see, the things that Jesus is delivering you from, the hate, the bitterness, so you can say it. I'm sure if I pass the microphone here, all of us have things that Jesus has delivered us from. You remember the victory God has given them? Their walls were built, but now they were in a position of victory. And you remember when we studied last passage that their enemies were disheartened. They were not happy. And so Nehemiah is saying to them, now that we have our gates, let's keep our guards up because the enemy will still try to come and attack us. And so children of God, we need to keep our guards up. Guard against the enemy. Jesus said something to the children of God. When he taught his disciples how the enemy operates. When it came to casting out demons, he said, when a spirit is cast out of someone, the spirit goes roaming around. And when he finds nowhere to rest, he comes back to look at where he left. And when that place is empty, he goes and gathers 7 stronger demons to come and possess that place. And I tell you, that person's situation will be even worse than before. And so whatever Jesus has saved you from, whatever Jesus has delivered you from, now, if you don't put up the guard of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't start to pray, if you don't start to study the word of God and meditate on the word of God and live the life of purity, the devil will still come, find an emptiness and come and possess you stronger. And so you find that, didn't I overcome alcoholism 2 years ago? Why is it now that I can't stop drinking at all? Stronger demons have come with that demon. Guard your heart. Get rid of evil. Do it for the love of Christ's sake. Protect yourself. Nehemiah is saying we are at a time of high security. Put up your security. Who is lying to you? The devil is good at lying to you. He will send people. He will bring people. He will bring friends. People you think they love you. And mislead you in the word of God. They are good at quoting. I'm telling you, the devil is good at quoting the word of God. He quoted to Jesus. And he will tell you, stay away from that guy. He's too proud. He's too arrogant. When you have somebody in your life that tells you the truth, that teaches you the word of God, he will try and mislead you to pull you away from that person so that he can get you open. When someone comes into your life that can pray for you, oh, this guy every time is, let's pray. What's all this? I don't want to answer his phone calls anymore. Watch it. Put your guard up. Run to that guy who can pray with you. Youth, watch your friends. What programs are you watching at home, in your home, alone? Husband and wife, what kind of conversations are you having at home? Are you having the conversations that brings Christ's glory into your house, or that which emanates evil in your home? You are not putting up your guard. So when your children grow up and they cannot live for Jesus, whose fault is it? When you are not setting the example at home, children of God, put your guard up. Put your guard up. Get up early in the morning. Study the word. David said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Nehemiah is saying we are at a time. And so whatever deliverance you have received, protect it with the word of God. Pray, depend on God, trust him, and he will set you free. That freedom will be permanent. It will be permanent. The devil will come, and by the time he comes, he says, oh, what did I run away from? I can't go back there. We are emptying ourselves a lot, but we are not refilling. Let us do an altar call now, and people will come and we pray. I might probably pray with you, and the unction, the power of God will hit you, and you will be delivered. And we will see demons cast out and all that, and they will go away. But you go home and you become the same person that the demon has left. You don't study the word of God. You don't pray. You don't trust the word of God. You don't depend on the word of God. You literally don't look in the word of God for what it says concerning your life. You don't practice the word of God. You don't talk the God. You don't talk the gospel. You're living your own life. It is okay. You can live like that for a while. But I'm telling you, the enemy is also planning. Me and you, we need to be very careful. In these times that God is rebuilding us, whatever God is delivering you from and has delivered you from and has worked on, you gotta protect it. Do it with all your life. The word of God says, worship the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your understanding and all your might. Youth here, the youthful strength that you have is your advantage. Use it to study God's word. Use it to pray. Don't spend time on internet reading unnecessary things. Pray. If you don't have anything to say, just sit down and say, Lord, I need you. There are so many things you can pray about. Look at how children are being attacked in schools. There are so many things you can do. If you need a book you want to read, call me. I will suggest some books for you. When you go to school, look for Christian kids who are actually living the life. You will see them. They are normally the neglected ones. Nobody wants to relate with them. Go to them and relate with them. Let them pray into your life and you pray into their life. You see how growth will become. I remember when I was growing at our church, we were four guys. Hey, don't mess around. We used to meet in the middle of the night from 11:30. We would pray till 5 a.m. And when the four of us, we walk into the deliverance room, oh my days. Demons used to just scream when we enter there. We had fired in prayer. And so when we enter into the room, I will go. That's why Jesus said, go back to your first love. Some of you know that first love. The way you used to love God's word. The way you used to anger for it. The way you, now, why don't you do that? Your guard is down, my dear sisters and brothers. My guard is down. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself. This Nehemiah passage that I'm teaching is working on me. Just this week, I've been in a position where I'm telling you, it takes the grace of God. But I look at Nehemiah's example and I just say, Lord, shut my mouth and give me grace. Shut my mouth and give me grace. Let God work on you. It is beautiful and sweet. He appointed guards. In the Christian life, often a victory is won and later lost because there was no guard. An enemy may come in because we are not watching. Walls can be climbed if there is no one there to stop the enemy. But an enemy is easily turned back from a wall by a guard. Guard your home. Men of God, guard your home. Guard your children. You yourself, wake up early. Depend on Jesus. Open the doors of your house to Jesus. Your heart to Jesus. Put your guard up. The enemy is seeking whom he may devour. He's roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. It will be sad for me and you after Jesus has come to die for us and we have accepted him as our Lord and personal Savior, living for him. It will be sad that we allow the enemy to penetrate amongst us. Keep it up. And so we come to verse 4. Now the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses were not rebuilt, then my God put into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, and the people, that they might be registered by genealogy, and I found a register of the genealogy of those who had come up in the first return, and found written in it. The people in it were few, and the house were not rebuilt. See, the people had been taken into exile for 70 years. Now, God had given them freedom that they can come back home. It was only 2% of those who were taken into exile that were able to come back. They've come back to this big city, this big land that God gave them. You know, the Israelites didn't even settle on all the land that God promised them initially. But yet still, when they came back, there was a lot of emptiness, a lot of land. And Nehemiah saw that, so he decided to count the people. Rebuilt. The walls had been rebuilt, so now the important things can be done, building the houses and all that. You see, Jesus has come to die to set us free. We have been delivered from that which will not allow it to worship God. Now, God can start a process of really putting his treasures in us. And so, this is when a child of God can really operate in the gifting of the Holy Spirit. God can now use you. Because he has worked on you. Your heart is ready. You are free. Now he can put his treasure in you. He can anoint you with the prophetic ministry. He can anoint you as a pastor. He can anoint you as an evangelist. So that you too can now be a blessing to somebody else. His treasures can be put in you. God's treasures had to be put in me to be able to minister like I'm ministering now. And all of us can receive this from God. Now the best is going to come out. The best is yet to come. Your best is yet to come. I'm telling you, West Houston Christian Center, our best is yet to come. Open up. You will see how God will use us. You will see with your eyes. Then God put into my heart. Nehemiah says, God put into my heart. Nehemiah wanted Jerusalem to grow and prosper. Look, I only think of good things for you, all of us here, you know. I want to prosper in God, and I want all of us to prosper. Sometimes I pray, Lord, give me a burden. I spend time praying for us here than anything. Lord, give me a burden for prayer for the congregation. Sometimes I'm sitting at home and then I start thinking of some of you, what you're probably doing by now, how life is going, how work is going for you, and I just start praying for you. I want the best for us. And we need to need the best for each and every individual here. Need the best for me, let me need the best for you. And let us all seek God, looking for the best of each other. Let us seek God looking for the best of Kani. And you will see what God will start to do with us. God put in his heart. He saw the need, the emptiness. Houses need to be built. And so God put into his heart the need. Pray that God will put into your heart a need for him. A need, something that he will use you for. Nobody wants to do it, but you will say, Lord, give me this grace to do this. Give me this grace. Give me this grace. Then God put in my heart. God can put a need in your heart. So please start listening to God. Start listening to God. Don't go and clean out your... Anyway, let me know. God said, and then you clean out your account and bring it to me. Hey, please, make sure you are hearing from God. Let whatever you are hearing go in line, alignment with God's word, and act upon it. I believe God has purposes for all of us. Corporately, he has a corporate agenda for us. But we also have our individual agendas that he has given us. We need to hear from God. We need to open up to him and allow him to use us. Even as a husband, God has a particular purpose for you in your wife's life. Likewise, your wife, what does the word of God say? Serve your husband. The moment that passage comes out, oh, he's going to tell us to start serving that guy that doesn't respect me. If he's not playing his role, you play your role regardless, because we will all be judged by God. So he continues into, when you read from verse 6 all the way to verse 73, he gives a long list of the people that came back from Jerusalem. He took a census of all of them. He took a census of all of them. These are the people who returned. Who returned to Jerusalem and Judah. We have to return to God. No matter where you come from, wherever you have been, whatever you've been through. I like talking to people, and some people will say, you don't know what I've been through. I surely don't know. You don't know the family I come from. You don't know where I come from. I surely don't know. Yes, I know and I understand that you might have been through a lot, but come back to Jesus. Come back home to Jesus. Go back to the drawing table. Be willing to get rid of the offense, whatever it is, the bitterness, the character, the habit that does not glorify God. Get rid of it. Ask him to come afresh into your heart, into your life, and start a new journey of living for him. Be rebuilt from scratch. Stop reading the Bible the way you were taught 20,000 years ago. Just stick the Bible and sit down and say, Holy Ghost, teach me. Oh, yeah, I remember this pastor said that. No. Okay, what is written first? Study the word of God. Be rebuilt. You see, he gives account of all these people. It is good that these people's names are in the Bible for the good thing that they did for the Lord, for going back to the promised land that was given to them. Isn't it awesome for your name to be written in the Bible? I wish my name would be written in the Bible. And Kwesi Burns went to West Hassan Christian Center and God used them. And you see that boy's example and people preaching about me and that. It is awesome. The Bible has been closed, but it is not over. You know, God has a book of life. When you read Malachi chapter 3 verse 16, God has a book of life. And every person that does a good thing for God's name is written in there. My dear sister, be willing that your name is written in God's book of life. My brother, children, be desiring that you become a good boy, that your name is written in God's book, okay? God has a book. And he writes every kid's name in it. Writes everyone's name. Be desiring that he will write your name, okay? Yeah? How do you want God to write your name? In capitals or in small letters?
Small letters.
Yeah. Small letters. He's an American. Me? I can't say it like that. Let God write your name in his book. Let him be proud of you. Remember, he gave Job up. Job. You would think God would cover Job, right? But God gave Job up because he knew that the heart of Job would stand. So have you considered my servant Job? Let God be proud of you so much that he brings the devil your way. Oh, aren't you going to be glad when you start conquering some demons? Demons see you. They're like, I tell you, it is sweet. Aren't you glad when you're telling your testimony to someone and the person is like, wow, yeah, wow, really, wow, it is sweet. And I'm looking forward to those testimonies we will start telling here. When we make a line and people are telling their stories and people are surrendering and giving their life to Jesus. I'm looking forward to that time when we have so many seats here, we start talking about buying a bigger place. And here will be our youth ministry and our children ministry. Ah! tonight. Telling you, the best is yet to come. I see it. I see it. I'm not joking. I see it. I've seen so many things, and I see the future of West Hudson Christian Center. It is possible. But we need to first be rebuilt. We need to put down the insecurities, the walls that we have built up. We need to put them aside and now open up to Jesus. And so the sermon has come to an end.